Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agnath Mirandasya Gananjana Shilakya Chakshur Om Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So we're going to talk about Grandfather Bhishma. So here's the life story of Grandfather Bhishma, and then we'll talk about his final pastimes, and then we'll talk about his instructions during his final pastimes, which are very important. Grandfather Bhishma is, of course, one of the Dwadasa, or 12 Mahajanas, great devotees, and as described in the Mahabharata, Mahajanayena Gata Sapanta Tako Pratishta Shudina Vidina. One can't understand what is to be done and what is not to be done simply by studying the Shastra, because it's variegated. This is from the Mahabharata. So, therefore, the only solution to understand what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is right, what is wrong, is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. He's one of the 12 great Mahajanas. Of course, there's many things he did before he became a Mahajan that you don't want to follow in the footsteps of. So let's talk about that. So once upon a time, before Grandfather Bhishma was born on this earth planet, he was one of the Vasus. There's eight of them, these heavenly personalities who assist the demigods. And his name was Jau, D-Y-A-U. And his wife started to nag him. And she said, I want to have the Kamadenu of Vasishtamuni. And the reason she wanted it is because the Kamadenu gives milk, and that milk from the Kamadenu, if you drink it, you don't get old. I've been looking for it. And she wanted to give it, because she didn't get old, because they were in the heavenly planets, they don't get old. So she wanted to give it to her friend, who happened to be an earthling. And so they stole, all the Vasus got together under the head of Dyal. And they stole the Kamadenu of Vasishtamuni, and that's a problem. Because they stole the Kamadenu of Vasishtamuni, they all got cursed to take birth on the earth in America. No, not America. But anyway, cursed to take birth in India, actually. And they went to Vasishtamuni. When you do something wrong, you apologize. The whole idea is you do something wrong first, and then you apologize later. That's the system. Not that you ask permission. So they apologized, and Vasishtamuni said, well, you still got to suffer something. So I'll let you all just have a brief life on earth, except for the one who was primarily responsible, Jau. It's interesting that Jau's wife wasn't held responsible. He was held responsible for listening to his wife. So, anyway, that's another issue. So, what happened, Jau was going to live a long lifespan that was equivalent to basically all eight of the lifespans of seven of the other ones, only all eight of them. So, he was cursed to take birth on earth. Meantime, in the heavenly planets, there was this great king, his name was Mahabish, who had gone to the heavenly planets, because he performed many pious activities as a king. And he was at a dancing performance in Lord Brahma's assembly. And everybody was dancing, you know, the girls, obviously. The men, they were just watching, enjoying themselves. So, and Ganga Devi was also there. She wasn't one of the dancers. And a breeze sort of blew up part of her cloth. And you can see, you know, the beautiful legs and everything. And this Mahabish, he was very attracted. He kept staring. And Lord Brahma saw that and he got very angry. And he said, as a result of that, you have to go down to the earth planet. And Ganga Devi sort of felt, let's say, happy that someone had been attracted to her. So she said to Mahabish, she felt love, actually. So we should get married if we go down to the Earth planet together, you know. And so it was agreed that they'd get married. So what happened is that after that agreement was reached, the Vasus, who were going to take birth on the Earth, along with Jal, their brother, went to Ganga Devi and said, you know, we don't want to be born from any body, regular person on Earth. We want to be born as your children. And you have to agree to kill us all right after we're born and send us back to home, back to heaven. And so, except for Jal, the last one, the eighth one. So she agreed. Then Mahabish took birth as Shantanu. And he was wandering around the banks of the Ganges, not just wandering, of course, he was doing his Kshatriya business. And Ganga Devi came out of the water. And he went, wow. And of course, in those days, you know, someone was attracted. They got married. It wasn't just like, he didn't say to her, will you become my girlfriend? Like we go to Chapel Hill sometimes and people say, this is my girlfriend or boyfriend of the week. And next week, this is my eternal love, boyfriend, girlfriend of the week. So many eternal loves. Eternality only lasts for 1 week in Chapel Hill. So, anyway, so he said, will you marry me? And she said, let's have a prenuptial agreement. So these prenuptial agreements are actually bona fide. And that prenuptial agreement is that if you ever disagree with anything I do, I'm out of here. And he was thinking, why should I ever disagree? You're so sweet and beautiful. Logical. When people are in love, they're not logical. They think, you know, it'll always be like this. So, anyway, they got married. And after they got married, she began to, as she had children, to kill each one, throw them into the Ganges. And Shantanu, he just, he couldn't hold it. He was holding himself back, but he just like was in misery the whole time. One kid, in the Ganges. Another kid, splash. Another kid, splash. Another kid, splash. About four. Another kid said, anyway, so then he got to the eighth kid and he just couldn't stop. He couldn't hold himself back. He said, stop! And she said, goodbye. I'm leaving you and I'm taking this kid with me. And so she left, and that was, of course, the child who would become Bhishma later on. And he got trained in martial arts. He went for basic training with Parashuram in the meantime. So then later on, he was named Devavrat. But anyway, later on, he was taken back by his father. Actually, he got trained not only in martial arts by Parashuram, but the Vedas by Vasishtha Muni, and politics by Brihaspati. So he had very good, well-rounded training. It's called university, universal training. That's where the word university came from. So, anyway, so then later on he came back, joined his father. There's a whole story about when he joined his father. His father was amazed at one particular juncture that the Ganges had stopped flowing. And the reason the Ganges had stopped flowing is that Devavrat has taken his arrows and fired so many arrows in succession that it formed a dam to stop the flowing of the Ganges. And then he discovered it was his son. And he was very happy to have his son. And Shantanu said, all right, you become the next king. You're the Yuva Raj. You're the prince who's going to become the next king. So everything was going on well until Shantanu, who had a habit of falling in love, was walking by the river again, and he saw this nice boat lady, Satyavati, who was actually the mother of Vyasadeva previously, but he didn't know that. And he fell in love with her. And she wasn't an ordinary boat lady. She was actually born from, it's an interesting story, there was a King Vasu, and she was born from the seminal fluid of Vasu that was swallowed by a fish. And so she was discovered by this fisherman inside a fish, and she really had a bad smell. Because, you know, you spend your whole time as an embryo or whatever inside a fish, it's definitely going to infect your smell. So, of course, later on she got to have a good smell after she had a relationship with Parashara Muni before the marriage with Shantanu. So, anyway, therefore she was known as Ganda Yojana. That means one who smells good for about 8 miles. She didn't need perfume. So, it's an interesting story. So then what happened is that Shantanu fell in love with her, and her father said, no way, you can't marry her because you already have a son who's going to become the next king, and her son would not become the next king. So Shantanu fell into a deep, what they call a funk, depression. You have that word nowadays?
Funk. Not so common.
Not so common. That's from the 1960s, I guess. He was just like, depressed, he was crying, feeling separation, you know, that he couldn't marry her. And Devavrat, his son, who later became Bhishma, he saw his father depressed, and he just like, why is my father depressed? Finally, he goes to his father's prime minister, and the prime minister said, look, your father's in love. And so he can't marry this girl, this reason. And so Bhishma takes it upon himself, Devavrat takes it upon himself to go to the fisherman, and who was the father or the adopted father of Satyavati. And he says, look, my father really wants to marry your daughter. The fisherman said, no way, because you're going to become the next king. And he said, well, I hereby renounce becoming the next king. And the fisherman said, well, there's another problem. Your son may try to claim the throne. He says, I hereby say Brahmachari, Akanda Brahmachari. And there, at that point, all the demigods, they just shower flowers upon Devavrat, Bhishma, his terrible vow, because they thought, you know, for Kshatriya, you know, he was a Kshatriya, strong, heroic, to be a Brahmachari. It just didn't fit, usually. It was something unusual. Anyway, for Brahman to be a Brahmachari, yeah, that's all right. But Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, no way. So, anyway, so he took that vow, and therefore his father was so pleased that he could marry Satyavati that he gave Bhishma this benediction. You will not die unless you want to. Now, most of us would think that that's pretty cool benediction. But for Bhishma, it was almost like a curse because he had to endure so much suffering throughout his life, and he couldn't leave the situation, you know, because he was responsible. You know, sometimes you're responsible and you want to be responsible, you want to stay around, and you can't stay around. It's just like time factor takes you away. So it was a problem for him later on. So and Bhishma vowed also to see his father and anyone who became the king, anyone of Satyavati's children or grandchildren or anything like that. So then what happened is Satyavati and Shantanu had a kid. And that kid was Vichitravirya, and they had another kid named Chitrangada. Chitrangada was killed by a Gandharva. And Vichitravirya, he was a little wimpy. You have that word now?
Yeah.
Okay. He was a little wimpy, so Bhishma had to arrange for his marriage. You know, because in those days, if you wanted to marry a nice princess, there was a competition, or you had to kidnap the girl. You know, those were your options, really. You know, sometimes they were arranged marriages, but generally, you have to show your prowess. So Bhishma went, and he kidnapped three girls, the king of Kashi's daughters, Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika, for his brother, you know, his half-brother. And he brought them back, and when he brought them back, Amba said, actually, I was engaged and in love with Shalvaraj, so I can't really marry anyone else. So Bhishma said, all right, you can go back to Shalva. And so she went back to Shalva, and Shalva, being a very proud Kshatriya, said, I cannot accept you once you've been taken by someone else. And a Kshatriya is not supposed to accept charity, so go back and marry Bhishma. So she goes back and she says, in an angry mood, marry me. And Bhishma says, I've taken a vow for my whole life to never marry anyone. Plus, even if I was going to get married, I wouldn't marry an angry lady like you. You know, that's what he was thinking. He didn't say that so much. So she gets very upset, and she goes to her uncle, who's a friend of Parashuram, and complains to Parashuram. They eventually go to Parashuram. Parashuram says, you're right, Bhishma should marry you. And Parashuram says, Bhishma, marry this poor girl, Amba. And he says, no, Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada said, that's the time you can refuse the order of your guru. He tells you to get married. Anyway, so he said, no, Guru Maharaj. And they had a fight for 23 days, the guru and the disciple. You know, arrows and everything. And finally, Bhishma was successful. And Amba got completely frustrated. Even Parashuram couldn't solve my problem. So she began to engage in penance and sacrifice to Lord Shiva to be reborn and be the cause of death for Bhishma later on. All right, that's one part of the story. Okay. So, meantime, actually going back to Chitrangada died, and Vichitravirya, who got married to the two other girls, Ambika and Ambalika, he died because he was so much in love with them. You know, just like, wow, I got these girls, and they're feeding them grapes or whatever they were feeding them. And he died. He was weak constitution anyway. So there was nobody ready to take over to be the king. So what was going to happen in the kingdom? So Satyavati went to Bhishma and said, you should accept these two girls that were married to your brother, half-brother. And Bhishma said, no way, I'm not going to do it. You got to make some other arrangement. Then she remembered that she had a son previously before her marriage. And that son was Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva said that whenever you call for me, I'll come. Whatever you want, mother, I'll do. Obedient son. So she called, Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva came and said, and he said, what do you want, mom? And she said, I want you to give those two girls a child so we can have a prince who can later on become a king. And he looked like someone who just came from the forest. You know, scraggly hair with oil, you know, not oil, sorry, with tree sap in his hair. And he didn't look so great. And he said, give me a year, you know, finish my austerities and everything, because it's going to be a disaster. And we all know it was a disaster, because he went to the first girl, Ambika, and she closed her eyes, and Dhritarashtra was born, went to the second girl, Ambalika, and she turned white, and Pandu was born. And then the third son was born when he wanted to go back to Amba. She just couldn't stand him anymore. So she put forth her maidservant, and Vidura was born. So that's how the Kurus were born at that particular juncture. Meantime, this is such a complicated story. Hopefully I have time to take it and tell it. All right, so in the meantime, we have Amba was reborn as Shikhandini. This is, let me see if I can tell the story real fast. The son of Drupada, or the daughter, actually it was the daughter of Drupada, but Drupada had been told by Lord Shiva it was a son, so he had so much faith in Lord Shiva that he believed it was a son, and he got his daughter married to another girl. And that was a problem when this other girl, who was a princess, told her father, you know, they married me to a girl. I mean, this wasn't Kali Yuga, so no problem. So they married me to a girl. And the father got so upset he got ready to attack Drupada. And she, Kundini, got so upset that she went into the forest, I guess, to leave home. She ran into this yaksha, Stunavara. Stunavara said, I'll give you my masculinity in exchange for your femininity until you solve the problem. And so she went back and she became he, Shikhandi, and everybody was happy. Meantime, the yaksha is there as a yakshini, and the head of the yakshas, Kubera, comes and he wants to see his friend, Stunavara. He says, where is he? And the other yakshas say, you know, he's a little embarrassed to come out because he had a sex change. And Kubera gets so angry, he says, yeah, he has a sex change, but he's going to stay like that until Shikhandi or Shikhandini dies. Okay, so there's Shikhandi, who's supposed to be the cause of the death of Grandfather Bhishma later on. So, that happens. There's the battle of Kurukshetra. Fast forward. I mean, there's so many other things. Actually, I should tell some other stories in the meantime. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, we find Grandfather Bhishma really doesn't want to take the side of Dharma because he, in the exchanges between the Kurus and the Pandavas, actually, in one sense, they're all Kurus, but I'm separating the two right now, because he's taken this vow, and he's considering his vow more important than doing the right thing. He's just thinking, I have to keep my vow. Just like at the end of the Mahabharata, we find the Bhishma finally realizes that real morality or ethics is determined by the result of an action, not the action itself. So many times people are just focused on rituals and not understanding the reason for the rituals, and they become ritual conscious and they neglect the reason, the purpose. You know, Krishna says, by all the Vedas, I'm to be known. He's very clear about this in the Bhagavad Gita. So Grandfather Bhishma makes a whole bunch of mistakes by not upholding the Pandavas' morality and the Pandavas' ethics and the Pandavas' right, and even makes the great mistake of allowing Draupadi to be attempted, the attempted disrobing of Draupadi, and not doing anything during that circumstance. And also makes the mistake, as Prabhupada said, of eating food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen, which pollutes his mind. I was just reading today in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that, there's this whole story. It's about Dvaitacharya. That Dvaitacharya, we mentioned the story of Dvaitacharya's servant who was begging from the king for some money to get rid of the debt of Advaitacharya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, a devotee doesn't accept charity from a materialistic person, for himself. For Krishna, of course, we can accept anything as long as we engage in Krishna's service, or accept food. Prabhupada said a devotee is so strict not to eat food cooked by a non-devotee. I mean, Prabhupada made that point very strongly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Grandfather Bhishma was taking food cooked impurely and eating with, you know, the most impure people on the planet. And so his mind became polluted, and as described in the Mahabharata, he became possessed, literally possessed by demons. So really, this is an example for us. You can become possessed by demons by, don't scare you, by eating impure food. So he made a whole bunch of mistakes like that. So fast forward to the Battle of Kurukshetra. Grandfather Bhishma is the commander-in-chief. He doesn't fight seriously with Arjuna because, you know, still he understands he doesn't want to kill Arjuna and the other Pandavas. Duryodhana taunts him. Grandfather Bhishma says, all right, feeling being a Kshatriya, he has this false pride. And he says, I have these 5 golden arrows and I'll kill the Pandavas tomorrow with these arrows, and I'm imbuing these arrows with my transcendental potency. Duryodhana keeps the arrows safely because he doesn't know what's going to happen with these arrows. And in the meantime, Krishna tells Arjuna to ask Duryodhana for a boon. You know, still they had Kshatriya principles. If someone asks you for something, you give it. which is interesting. So Duryodhana says, of course, he had previously promised that to fulfill one of Arjuna's promises, Arjuna's requests. So Arjuna says, I request those arrows. So he got the arrows, you know, very tricky. Krishna's extremely nice and tricky, and gets rid of the arrows. And Duryodhana tells Bhishma to make five more. Bhishma can't, because he gave all his potency to those five. Used all his potency up. But he vows to kill Arjuna the next day, or cause Krishna to break his promise. He said, I will kill Arjuna, or Krishna will break his promise. And so he goes on the battlefield, and Krishna breaks his promise. He grabs the chariot wheel and rushes towards Grandfather Bhishma. Arjuna holds him back and says, no, I'll fight seriously, you know. Please don't do this. We don't want you to break your promise. And so Krishna breaks his promise for his devotee Arjuna. Finally, when it comes time for Bhishma to, let's say, be incapacitated, Arjuna uses Shikhandi as a human shield. And Grandfather Bhishma has taken a vow not to fire his arrows at a woman or anyone who previously was a woman. Because he knew what was happening. He had spies, it's described in the Mahabharata, that he had spies who went around and saw that it was Shikhandi, who Shikhandi actually was. And so then Arjuna is able to fire his arrows. Like, there were so many arrows, it's described, there wasn't even a finger's width between the different arrows in the body of Grandfather Bhishma. I mean, not on the face. He didn't fire at the face. But everywhere else in the body. So there were arrows piercing Grandfather Bhishma. In fact, it's described that even when his body was half filled with arrows, he was still rushing at Arjuna. He was such a ferocious fighter, Kshatriya. And finally, he was knocked down on his back. And he was happy, because Dharma had been upheld at that particular juncture, and he still kept his promise. Two things happened. And so he, everybody rushed to Grandfather Bhishma's side, and he said, boy, my head is just hanging down like this. And Duryodhana rushed to get a pillow, and Grandfather Bhishma said, no, I don't want that pillow. And give me something that's fit for a Kshatriya. And Arjuna fired arrows that actually made sort of like a cross in the back of his neck and held his head up. And then he said, I'm thirsty. And Duryodhana went to get some water. He said, I don't want that water. And so Arjuna fired an arrow in the ground, and the Ganges came up like in a stream and entered Bhishma's mouth. So, all right. And that was the bed of arrows story. So, let's see. So then what happened? Bhishma, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was still lying there because he was waiting for the sun then to go to the north, which happens about after the 23rd of December. You know what I'm saying? Roughly the sun starts to go to the north. Previously it's gone to the south, because that's our winter. It's gone all the way south. We're not left with the sun. And the sun starts to go to the north, which is the auspicious. So he was waiting for that particular time. And as he was waiting, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he started to give instructions to Yudhisthira and Arjuna, the Pandavas, and all the rishis. So all the rishis came, Arjuna, of course, Krishna, Narada Muni, Vyasa, Shuka, Gotama Rishi, and Kashyapa came to hear what Bhishma had to say. Bhishma worshipped Krishna, and Krishna gave him the benediction that he wouldn't have any pain in his body, so he'd be able to concentrate and speak clearly. And the first thing Bhishma said was that due to the time factor, this is what's happening to me. This kala, he understood, is the wish of Krishna. He said, no one knows the plans of Krishna. One must simply accept. And Bhishma addressed Yudhisthira, stating that Krishna is God, even though you accept him as a friend, advisor, etc. You should understand he's God. And he has come to me now, being equal to everyone. And Krishna manifests the four arms before Bhishma. And then Yudhisthira inquired about religious principles. And he spoke to Yudhisthira about Varnashram, salvation, duties of a king, duties of a woman, and of course where the sun went north. Bhishma fixed his mind upon Krishna, stopped his senses, remembered Partha Sarathi, and remembered his worship of Krishna in the chivalrous mood because of the wounds he created on Krishna, which Krishna accepted like a lover's bite. And remember the rasa dance, Rajasuya sacrifice, and he passed away and threw drums and flowers from the sky. So, here are the instructions. We got to the final sheet. Bhishma advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. This is for all human beings. Listen to this carefully. Don't become angry. Everybody got it? Do not lie. Equally distribute wealth to everyone. Of course, lying can be done to save someone's life. Bhishma recognized that. As we mentioned before, he recognized that morality or ethics is determined by the result. It's called consequentialism. To forgive, very important. To beget children only by one's legitimate wife, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. In other words, Om Pavitra Pavitrava Sarvavashtam Gatopiva. So to always remember Yaksmarat Pundarik Kaksham. To always remember the lotus feet of Krishna. That's how you're pure in mind. Otherwise, there's no purity if you're not remembering Krishna. If you're remembering just like some pure stream going through the mountains, that's not purity. That's mode of goodness, material mode of goodness. Hygienic means bathing. Not to be inimical toward anyone. Remember this. This is really interesting. These instructions are for everyone. To be simple. That doesn't mean simple tongue. To be simple. Like we have the KISS philosophy. Right? Keep it simple, sadhu. Keep it simple, sadhu. Of course, other people say something else outside of ISKCON. Anyway, to support servants or subordinates, to be very supportive of those who are assisting you, and those who have less knowledge or are subordinate to you. And there's final 14 instructions here. Good, we have time. To get freedom from anger, he gives actually ways to become free from anger. One should learn how to forgive. You know, forgiveness means, I'll give you a technique. You put yourself in the other person's shoes. You try to understand why they acted in such a way. To be free from unlawful desires, one should not make plans. In other words, don't be in the mode of passion. I need that, when contemplation of sense objects, one develops attachment, or attachment develops lust. That's right from Bhagavad Gita. By spiritual culture, one is able to conquer sleep. So even when you are sleeping, you can remember Krishna. You have Krishna conscious dreams or visions. By tolerance only can one conquer desires and avarice. In other words, we have to learn how to tamsatikshishabhara. This is all Bhagavad Gita. Practical instructions. Disturbances from various diseases can be avoided by regulated diets. Well, what I've been saying. People don't understand. By self-control, one can be free from false hopes. I mean, we're hoping against hope, but in this material world. It's not this Ashabandha of Krishna consciousness, which is real hope. But we're hoping that, you know, somehow or other, we can get this body together so it'll be nice. You know, I make so many adjustments. You know, I have one disciple who's a doctor, and I end up calling him every day. What about this? What about that? Money can be saved by avoiding undesirable association. Interesting. That means the internet. When you go on the internet and you see all these things that you should have, you go to Amazon and you have Amazon Prime. Does anyone here have Amazon Prime? I do too. And so you have Amazon Prime and you say, I can have this, I can have that. And you just Google things. So that's why so much money is being wasted in America and by us too. By practice of yoga, one can control hunger. And he's not talking about hatha yoga here. He's talking about bhakti yoga. Worldliness can be avoided by cultivating the knowledge of impermanence. It's all temporary. Dizziness can be conquered by rising up. Of course, if you have low blood pressure, don't rise up too quickly. Because then you get dizzier. I found that out one time. I was taking my blood pressure pills. I just got up and pow. So rise up gradually. False arguments can be conquered by factual ascertainment. Talkativeness can be avoided by gravity and silence. By prowess, one can avoid fearfulness. And the final one is perfect knowledge can be obtained by self-cultivation, which means introspection. So these are very important instructions by Grandfather Bhishma. And today is the commemoration of his appearance. On that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.